This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hog bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhardt, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound.
Chevalier, he'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon to Hall, looking for 500. He shoots, he scores. Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen. Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello and welcome to the Thursday morning edition of the Blues NHL podcast, brought to you by our good friends from the Innovated Companies, the Innovated Construction Arm, presented by our great friend Randy Green. He's a second-generation craftsman with 35-plus years of experience. Don't forget the Innovated Construction Team for any residential, commercial, industrial work you may need. They specialize in design build projects, can help you with your remodeling if you have any excavating. I promise you, Randy is your man. Check him out at innovatedcompanies.com. Welcome to the show this week. Again, I'm happy to have in studio the two former Blues that you guys love to hear from each and every week. To the right, my good friend and former Blues defenseman, Jamie Rivers.
Good morning, Vietnam.
And to his immediate right, former Blues enforcer and all-around tremendous human being, Darren Kimball.
Good morning, folks.
Oh, my
good
God.
Morning.
All tremendous. You,
you're a good friend, and I'm
kissing ass now, eh?
I had a lot of cocktails last night. Yeah. So.
Kimby threatened to reach over the table and grab you once this morning. Now he's a tremendous human being.
I am.
My Lord.
I've had that. You know, we had our Christmas party here at lineupmedia.fm, which, you know, a little.
You were invited?
Shout out to the. Yeah, they invite guys like me to those things.
That's why the place is a mess this morning.
Oh, my God. Jeez. No wonder.
Woo, let me tell you. You know, if any,
oh, these Zimas everywhere.
Yeah, no. empty bottles of high-end whiskey all over the place. It's a beautiful thing, my friends. Well, you know, to get right to the point, as we like to say in this business, rough patch, boys. Look, man, shaking your head, Jamie. Fans are, I guarantee you, are wondering how this is going to go this morning with you, my friend.
Yeah. God, you know, I had the honor to do the game last. I call it the honor, the privilege, whatever you want to call it, to do some of the game last night on KMOX, and the frustration level is there. Like, I can see it in the players as they're going through these rough patches. You can see it on the power play; they're not generating anything. We went through some of the numbers last night. Like, your top six forwards, excluding Tage Thompson, because he's really not supposed to be in your top six, had 7 shots on net. Your defense core had 9 shots on net. Like, what is wrong with that picture, right? Like, come on. You've got how many millions of dollars invested in players up front that should be, I don't even care if they're scoring, but 7 shots on net, that's just not good enough. And yet 9 shots from the D, I think Vince Dunn had like 3 or 4. He's a first-year defenseman. Like, that shouldn't be happening. These guys have to, you know, they got to generate something. And it just looks stale. Right now, they're not fighting to get to the middle of the ice. There's no gritty, dirty stuff in front of the net. You watched Calgary last night, and just I'll bring that up because it's fresh on the brain. And we know this kid, Matthew Tkachuk, and look, we love him and all this stuff. And it's not, this is not the reason I'm bringing it up. It could be even Michael Furland is in front of the net. Those two guys are in front of the net all night long in Hutton's face, standing there, whacking, leaning on him, falling back, kicking him, all this crap. Making his life miserable all the time. Every time they're in the zone, you look to one of those two is in front of the net, or that Hathaway kid who gave Tarasenko a bit of a shot and caused a bunch of crap last night. He's in front of the net for Dougie Hamilton's goal, the game-winning goal. He's in front causing a bunch of shit so Carter Hutton can't see the puck. We don't have that traffic in front, Kimby.
You know, watching last night, and so I'm watching the game, and when you listen to Bernie and talking on there, and they're talking about the fourth line, that's not good. You know, and we went through this last year talking about the fourth line. That's not good. You know, and I was thinking about, and it's funny that Jamie did this, because on the way up here, I was thinking about, you know, you look at the, I was talking, look about Thompson. I thought Thompson played well for him last night. He's a big kid, but, you know, he did well for himself. And when Jamie says about the Tkachuk kid doing that and the other, you know, for like, we don't have that in our top six. We don't have that. And Shen's goal was a phenomenal goal.
Sure.
And the you can tell the kid's playing with all the confidence in the world right now. And the scary thing is, and they're so close. They lose by a goal, and they're close. That's how close they are, but that's how far away they are, too, if that makes any sense to you. And I think at the start of the year, when this thing was going, they were winning these games. They're finding a way to win these one-goal games. Now they can't find a way to win them. And it's not because Schwartz is out. That's not it. Because if your team dismantles on one player, you know, you're not talking Wayne Gretzky here. If that dismantles, then is your depth that good? Is it there?
Well, the depth is the problem, Kimmy. Yeah, I think that's what we're realizing, okay? And look, Jaden Schwartz, he was good for literally a goal a game.
Yeah.
Whether he scored or assisted on it, it was one goal a game minimum that he was contributing on. So you've lost that one goal a game somehow, some way. And I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. One guy shouldn't cause this big. Like, he's not Wayne Gretzky. He's not Connor McDavid. He's not one of those guys. But you're right. The depth is where we're really struggling right now, because when you get to your third line, okay, even a second line, they're just not producing. And look, I've been a fan of Alexander Steen and Paul Stastny. I still am a fan of theirs. I think they do a lot of really good things out there. I think they're great leaders. However, when times are bad, you need those guys to step up. And I don't just mean step up and rah-rah the guys and work hard in practice. Like, you got to do something on the scoreboard. They've got to start putting the puck in it. They're not. So now, essentially, your offense has come down to Braden Schenn, Vladdy Tarasenko, who we know right now is pretty frustrated. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, he's not putting up the points that he could be, or that he just looks like he's not quite himself. So you're down to two guys. Really, that's what you are. I mean, who else? Sobotka, he's not doing anything. Steen and Stastny don't have enough production lately. And there's your guys.
And look at the guy we were talking about. So Tkachuk and that. Who's that on the blue? Like Sobotka, where is he at, my friend? That's you.
That's his role. But you know what, Darren? Here's the problem with that. And I'm just going to get there right now. Vladimir Sobotka, when he left the Blues, he thought he was a top six forward.
Yeah.
And that's why he left. Not just because of the money, but because he thought he was a top six player and he could go and be this offensive guy in the KHL and come back. He came back last year, and they had, you know, some guys that would go to the net. They did fairly well. He was just a new body. He was fresh. But since he's come back, he's never done anything remotely close to what he did before he left. I can't even remember the last time I see him put a guy on his ass with a hit. I could be wrong, and I'll stand corrected if I'm wrong. However, he should be doing that once a game. Somebody should be on their ass. And every time there's a scrum, like Joel Edmondson last night, that's the way you go into a scrum, okay?
Exactly.
Like, I'm not saying we got to go and rip everybody's head off, but that's the way you go into a scrum. Vladdy Tarasenko gets pushed, you just come in and you go head hunting, right? And he did. And that's the way Vladdy Sobotka goes into every scrum, and he's smiling. Like, what are you smiling at? The guy who's licking you in the face and laughing too, he's realizing at that point you're irrelevant.
Let's backtrack a couple years here and let's see where we're at one point. So you had Backes sitting there, you had Sobotka sitting there, and who's the kid who went to Calgary?
Brower.
Yeah. So you had that in your lineup, and that brought
shit. You had that, more than that as you went deeper.
No, but I'm just. Oh, yeah. But I'm those three guys that were here, and I'm just going. That's, you know, that's what you have. And that's the way the Calgary played their game last night. And that's what I think this league, you're needing those guys that compete in the hard level. And this, you know, people are talking about getting to the front of the net. Those are the guys that got to the front of the net. They got there. They caused shit. They get there. And and Sobotka playing the way he's playing right now for whatever reason. And losing those guys and replacing him, you know, you have a team of, it's all sort of finesse here going on until you get down to the fourth line. And then you got Bernie talking about the fourth goddamn line again. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
It is, though, when that's your highlight.
You're right. Yeah. And I'm wondering I think Army and these guys got to do some soul searching here and say, where are these guys that are going to pull this shit off on the.
My suggestion at this point, and I made it last night on air, was now's the time. Screw it. Bring up Sammy Blais. Keep Tage Thompson here. Bring up the Costin kid. Like, why not go searching right freaking now to go find some scoring Mm-hmm. Seriously, let's get these guys, put them on a line together. Put Tage Thompson in the middle between Blais and Costin. Let's see what you got, guys.
But didn't that work? Isn't that what they did last year when Yo got the job? Then they started bringing these guys
up. Yeah, and look what happened.
And they went on a roll, and we talked about that.
They brought energy to the table. But these three players alone have more offensive awareness than half of what they got in the lineup up front right now. Yeah. Like, let's be honest. I'm not going to go too far down the line with names here, but there's lots of guys who, in that third or fourth line, they're not putting up numbers. Mm-hmm. There's guys in the top six that aren't putting up numbers, but they're not going anywhere. We know that.
Yeah.
But the third and fourth line has guys that are not putting up numbers. Why not right now? Just say, screw it. We're going to bring up these kids. We're going to give them a lot of leash and just let them go.
Mm-hmm.
Or play two of them with Berglund and then put another – like, give them a chance to go here.
Yeah.
You know, from the fan perspective, when you watch the game, to me, it looks like we're an easy team to play against. And that's – not a marker you want, right? I mean, like, there's no physicality, really. I was going to bring up every time there's something going on and we're cycling the puck around the outside as far away. I mean, I've seen the puck actually go inside and we take it right back out. I mean, we get the puck closer to the net and then we kick it back out again, almost like it's basketball and we're looking for a three. And there's nobody in front of the net. And again, lots of gaining the zone, lots of along the edges of the boards, and no. Again, it's like you could skate around out there and not worry about anything when you play against us right now. That's what it looks like to me. Contrary to like one of the funnest runs we've had a couple years ago, you brought it up when you had Backes and Brouwer and all that was going on. That run through the playoffs was about as good a Blues hockey as I've seen in obviously a very, very long time. It just, again, I know we're talking about, you know, I'm not talking about fighting. I'm talking about physicality. We just seem easy to play against to the fan.
Well, the Blues have decided to become a puck possession team, okay? And I don't disagree with it. Today's NHL, if you control the puck, odds are you control the game. Where they're running into problems right now and what you're seeing with the cycling, the offensive zone, and all that stuff, and they don't go in the middle, the Chicago Blackhawks, I'll use them because everybody hates them. So we're going to give them a little bit of credit here because what they've been doing works. And you've watched Tampa Bay even, like some of these other teams, Pittsburgh's of the world. They're so talented that they can play that puck possession game. Because they have enough talent that are going to go to the net at the right times. They're going to make the play. They have a purpose to what they're doing. Right now, we're not getting the offense from our guys. So we're possessing the puck at times, but we don't have an end game to it. It's almost like a game of keep away, which like, okay, well, at what point does somebody do something with it? And I think right now, with maybe the lack of production or lack of ability to produce quality scoring chances, it needs to be more straight line. I'm not saying going back to, you know, Ken Hitchcock hockey where it's chip off the wall the whole night and you're chasing this thing down the ice. But you know what? It might not be a bad idea for a game or two to do that. Support the puck, slash support, straight across the ice, chip it up, and go. And then as you come down the wing, fire that puck every single time with a guy driving the net.
I'm gonna answer my own question after I throw this out to you, and I'll answer my own question here. But you go on, and I said this probably a month ago or whatever, watching Blues hockey to me is the way they're playing right now is boring shit. It's boring shit to me. And I don't care what anyone says. It's boring shit. Huh? And here's my thing on it, and this part of my answer is when I sit there and I watch NHL Network and say Philadelphia's playing or say Rangers are playing and Pittsburgh's playing, I don't care who you – but it's a different type of game going on. And it's – so I'm going to take your top players, and it's like they're more involved in the process. And – so then my answer to my – so by saying that, and I'm not trying to be – you know, that's just the way I'm looking at the Blues note. But – and saying that, what if you had – look what's going on out there in Vegas with Glantz. And I don't – you know, people are saying what Glantz doing, you know, the Vegas, they go out there and people get mined out. That's not it. He's got a bunch of guys that are working their ass off, and that's how they beat him every night. They work their ass off, and they play their system. And – do they got elite players out there? Not really guys that are playing top two line players.
Not elite enough for their teams to keep them.
No. And but that's what you got. And so you got guys sitting here. And if you had that kind of and that's why where I'm going to with this, when I say they're boring, where's that? Like I watched Steen last night when the last minute of the game, all of a sudden he said, oh, now I got to go. So then he went and he worked his ass off. And if he did that all the time, and I know I'm not picking on him because the guy's been around a long time and he's an important part of the team. He's a leader on this team. But if he showed that all the time, that's a big difference for this hockey club because then everyone's got to do it.
Well, shouldn't you be picking on him though?
Well, that kind
of. Yeah, I mean, really, hang on. I'm being honest here. Guy makes a lot of money.
Yeah.
He's wearing a letter.
I don't care what the letter means shit to me, but because he's a leader. And, he, you know, I just watch him around, and I'm not around these guys much, but I've been to a couple of events, and he's a leader of the outfit. But do you need to pick on? Yeah,
I mean.
You're the guy that's you're the guy that's. What were we watching last night? Oh, I was watching the NHL Network. Not this morning with Adam Oates, Scotty Stevens, and Barry Melrose on there, and they made a comment on the. On the thing, they're talking about leaders, top leaders, and then, the Messiers and all these guys. And they said some of them, they led by example. There was a message the coach threw down to them, and they were the ones to sort of make sure it got implicated into the dressing room. And Yo's sending the message right now. I'm thinking some of these guys are missing the message right now because you've watched his style of play when he brought these young guys up and it works. It works. But there's no energy in the system right now, and I think that's what they're missing. So, yeah, Steen's he's on the hook for it. Stastny, yeah, he's on the hook.
They all are, right?
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, once you've been in the league, well, I'll say 5 years now because the way the league is so quick and they get so young so fast. So once you've been in the league 5 years, you automatically become a leader. Whether you have a letter or not, you're a leader in that room, on the ice, everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, we bring up Vegas, and you bring up a very interesting point there is – those guys weren't good enough or viewed good enough for their teams to keep them or find a way to protect them or trade back for them with all that expansion draft. So they have a bit of a chip on their shoulder, for sure. But if you look at those players in Vegas, almost to a man, they were second, third, and fourth liners. Mm-hmm. And I can speak from experience, and you can agree with me if you feel like it, but when you're that low on the totem pole sometimes or when you're not the top three guys on your forward unit, or top 2D, like you have to work hard. You have to pay attention to detail. You have to be reliable, or you don't play.
Yep.
And so now Gerard Gallant has, he's got this accountability thing that he coaches with, and players love him because if you do something good, you get rewarded. If you do something bad, you get punished. It is what it is, and it's straight across the board.
Yep.
And so he holds everybody to that standard, and you can tell. These guys are playing hard like they've been third liners before, so they're doing all the little gritty, dirty work, the bullshit that, they're used to.
Yep.
But now those third liners are on the first line in Vegas, and they're getting premium ice time. And so all that hard work, along with a little bit of bonus of ice time, is translating into success for these guys. So to me, the answer is pretty simple. If everybody just goes back to doing what a third liner does, which is just being reliable in your own end, making sure you're managing the puck well, getting in hard on the forecheck, going to the net, crashing for rebounds, all this stuff. You go back to that, then you splash in that extra talent that they do have because they're not third liners. I think you're going to see some more success out of this.
And the way you talk, though, and the way Gallant does it, Riz, that's old school hockey.
It is.
And when I say that is, these guys that are at the top, and you played on teams, and I go to Jeremy Roenick, the – I even sat with Holly on the bench, Brian Sutter. He would punish them if things weren't going the right and to a small degree. You're not going to get the major degree that.
Well, you don't need those guys playing the same way. You just want the same effort.
But that's what I'm saying. So if the effort wasn't there, and that's what Brian Sutter was all about. He had that workman. That's the way he played the game. So and that's where I think the Blues need that on their top two line. I think they're missing that. And that's where
– they had it for a while.
Yeah.
Remember, we were talking about how hard those guys are working. Vladdy Tarasenko's working so hard both ends of the ice.
And it's going
not really talking about that right now.
And what do you got to – usually when you're going through that thing, and that's where I go to Steen when I seen him in the last minute of the game when he went in there, flying in there. But that's got to come all game. And then if you start doing that, then these other guys come with you, and it makes the game even easier if everyone's doing the same thing.
But I think this is where lack of depth is getting to the Blues, because if you look at the minutes last night, like the top guys were 20 minutes plus as a forward. That's astronomical amount of ice time. And then you had a drop-off to where your fourth liners were like 7.5 minutes. You can't have 20-minute forwards and 7.5-minute forwards. You just can't do it. You're not going to survive.
When you go through a struggling period, though, your bottom line's those minutes will drop.
No, I know, but that's the problem. Now you're relying too much. And then when you're in a one-goal game and you get deep into it, the third period, or you pull the goalie, like there was no real jump out of that team. There was no spark. They just didn't have anything left in the tank.
No.
And that's a problem.
Yeah.
So that's where the depth for me comes in. If you can't spread the minutes out to keep your horses energized and going, you got a problem.
Yep.
You don't want to be in one goal games if that's the case.
Exactly.
You know, I've got a follow-up question to that as we're on the bench with Butter here. Before we do that, we want to remind everybody to make sure you check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. It's where you can subscribe to the show. It's absolutely free. You can also do your shopping through us at Amazon by finding the banner down to your right on your computer. If you're on your mobile device, just scroll all the way down. Click Amazon. Do your shopping. Doesn't cost you anything extra. You're done with us once you click the Amazon banner. We get a very small referral that helps us with the production cost of the show. Happy to have you guys a part of our social media experience. Find us at STL Blues Podcast, at NHL Show on Twitter. Find us on Facebook simply by typing in Blues NHL Podcast. Like our Facebook page. Invite your friends to like it as well. Simply click the button, invite your friends, and it'll allow you to invite whoever you know that is a Blues fan. That'd be very appreciative from us. Instagram, Blues NHL Podcast Show as well, and lineupmedia.fm. Give them an opportunity. They're the fastest growing podcast company in the planet, on the planet, and absolutely deserve your entertainment time. Follow-up question as we're on the bench with Butter on that, guys, is this. So I've been wanting to ask you about a guy that I thought got lost in the shuffle. I've brought it up once or twice, but I remember it when you're not here. Now I'm remembering it because you brought up depth. Obviously, Fabry going out. I mean, the lack of depth, some of it's the injury stuff, right? Like, I mean, we're not going to cry over our own spilt milk here because, you know, all teams deal with things at different times. But, man, Fabry goes out. The loss, and then obviously we're dealing with the stuff now, right? But the guy I'm going to ask you about, and the guy that kind of was under the radar, would Zach Sanford have made a difference, especially right now?
Well, it's hard to say, right? Because yeah. He's a young player. Last year was his first year in the league. He had a limited role on both teams. So, you know, you're expecting him to make strides going into his second season. And he probably would have been – he would have been on the third line. He'd have been a right winger on that third line. I don't know how much he would have contributed, but he's got size. He's got skill. He got the ability. Unfortunately, it's kind of unknown right now, you know, because he's coming off a rookie season where he wasn't an impact player. It's hard to say he'd come in this year and be an impact guy and be able to carry guys through this. And even so, as a second-year guy who's not a dynamic player, like, once again, if you're turning to lean on somebody like that, like, you know, it's not going in the right direction. He would be a great accent piece, kind of like Tage Thompson. Great game last night. We talked about already. I thought he was involved. I thought he was in there. I thought he had chances. He did a good job. But if you're turning to rely upon that right now, just that one guy, that one kid, like, things are not going the right way.
Yeah. And I said, you know, I said this last show, maybe I said two shows ago, and I still think we're a forward and a defenseman away from actually moving this ball forward. And I believe that. And the forward's got to be in the top six to find one. And I don't think you got him in your organization.
I tell you what, Patty Maroon is starting to look better and better to me. And I, you know, I never said he didn't look good in a Blues uniform. I was thinking more for Patty, you know, moving into unrestricted free agency for next year and all that stuff. But God, if we could get a Patty Maroon who 10 feet around the net is money, and then he's always in front of the net. Connor McDavid,
hard to play against.
Leon Draisaitl, these guys are, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, these guys are able to play that outside wheel and deal game because they have Lucic, because they have Patty Maroon, because they have Zach Cassian.
You got, you know, Patty Maroon sitting there, which would be a great story for
St.
Louis.
I think he'd be perfect.
But you know, the guy in Philadelphia they're talking about moving to is Simmons. That's the type of player you're looking
for.
But
he's coming in at a much higher price tag.
But right? I'm talking player-wise.
Is he that much better than Patty Maroon?
No, but I'm
he had, like, what, 10 goals more?
But I'm talking player-wise because he's got the physical part. He goes to the dirty spots. That's the kind of player that I'm thinking. And Patty Maroon's the same thing.
I'm looking at the salary cap, too, you know. And if you bring in Simmons, you've got to get rid of two guys that are roster players because you've got to shed that salary.
Correct.
And where are you going to send them? Philly's not going to pick them up.
No.
So,
but that's I'm just talking about the player, though. I wasn't looking at the salary cap. I'm talking about the player.
Well, on that note, let's go ahead.
I agree with you, though.
On that note, let's check out our our Twitter poll brought to you by our good friends, another under the umbrella from Innovated Companies, Innovated Heating and Cooling. Don't forget them for your new construction. If you need any panel changes, full-service upgrades, replacement fixtures and devices, they're a full-service department that can help you with exterior and interior lighting, specializing in energy management systems. That's everybody's looking to cut costs on energy and cleaner energy solutions, things like that. 35-plus years experience, second-generation craftsman Randy Green, our good friend, bringing you this Twitter poll. So as we're talking about making these changes, we asked, are you okay mortgaging the future for an upgrade today? Now, I made that a two-answer question because of this. Anybody can say, The problem is this.
Are you all in or are you not
in? That's the problem, though, Jamie. Anybody can sit here and go, well, of course I'll make a trade as long as we don't mortgage the future. And of course, it's not that easy.
No, I know.
But how are you going to trade a guy that makes a bunch of money that's underperforming for a good player?
What's your so let me go a little farther. What's the future you're talking about, though?
Well, I'm talking about these guys down here. Like,
so you're talking the young kids.
Yeah. I mean, what else are you going to – that's my point.
No, I'm just asking.
And I'll ask Jamie. He's been the GM. How do you trade a guy? Like, here, what do you really have on this on the big club? Who's up there right now that you could trade that you would want to trade? The obvious ones. Oh, well, let's get rid of Bomeister.
Here's the thing you're going to have to do is if you're trying to get rid of a guy who carries a big price tag that you don't feel is valuable enough to your franchise right now, you're going to have to package it, right? You're going to have to say, okay, I'll give you Sammy Blais and player X, and we're going to go acquire Patty Maroon. That's what you're going to have to do, because then the team who's acquiring it, they understand, okay, we're going to help you out here. We're going to eat your salary on the NHL guy. We'll take your prospect because we believe he can play on our team now or in a year. We'll get rid of your guy in the offseason, or we'll waive him or trade him, or we'll, you know, recirculate him somehow, and now we can shed, you know, the salary that we want. So there's so many things that come into it. You just can't make a player-for-player trade anymore. You really can't. I mean, if you watch the structure of every trade that comes through, there's multiple factors involved, unless it's lower-end guys. The lower-end guys, you tend to be able to go one-to-one. Or high-end guys, like you see the Subban for Weber. Like, those trades happen, but you're not going to get – ordinarily, you're not going to get a Shea Weber or a Subban unless you're sending $6-8 million the other way as well. So right. That's when you can make a hockey trade, is when the money matches up. Right. If you can't match up the money – there's just no margin anymore. Right. And the Blues are a cap team.
An answer to your poll, though, I said I would, but I would do it at a limit of – I'm not giving them all away, but I can't afford them all later on either. So I gotta work it in where Rivs is saying, if I can get rid of a higher salary that's already there that I don't really need, give a young guy up to get a player, I would do that in a heartbeat, because I'm not going to be able to afford all these young kids when they're coming anyway in about 3 years, because they're going to all want money, and I don't got the money to give them. So I got to – the Blues are close. I'm not talking like they're a dead last place team here. They're close. They're in the middle. They're a top 10 team, but they're close. They're playing like dog shit right now, but they're close. And I just think they need something to get a little pep in their step here. And, you know, you could be going – we talked about this. This is a long season, man. And you're going through a lull. Things are starting to snowball in the wrong direction here. They got to find a way out of it, and they will. But it's just – you're going to have – you can't go the whole season. You're not like the Montreal Canadiens back in the day where they could run the table. And you're not doing that anymore. And they'll have to find a way. And if Army's got to help him find that way, he's been around the game a long time. I'm sure he can find it. But they just need to find a little pep in their step, and they've lost it right now.
Well, and one of the things that you're going to have a problem with orchestrating a trade right now is, realistically, you're probably not going to trade your top six forwards for multiple reasons. I could dive into salary and no trades and all this stuff, right? And the guys that really we're talking about here is the depth. We don't have the depth. So the guys you're looking to trade are your third or fourth liners, which who's going to want to pick up your dead weight? Like, nobody's just going to say, oh, yeah, I think this guy who's not playing well for you and hardly playing, I think he's the right there. That's the key to the kingdom. He's going to come and help us. That's not going to happen. So Army's going to have to get creative. He'll have to maybe even waive a guy and send him to the minors. You get, you know, half the guy's salary in relief for on the cap. He's going to have to get creative like that. And maybe we have the best minor league team in the American Hockey League because you get rid of some dead weight, but then you're able to, you know, package something together and maybe send one young guy in a draft pick and bring in something you really need.
But here's another thing that I think they're really going to – right now, Rivs, you're going to have a hard time because the East, you got about 12 teams that are sitting within reach right now, and they're not going to throw that card out there and trying to – so
– well, and they see the Blues right now are trending a little bit downward. They're going to be preying on them like sharks.
But I'm just saying, so if Army does it right now, I think you got to wait just a little bit longer here. Let this – over there in that other division and our division, things start to settle here a little bit. And you know, when these other teams get out of the playoffs, that's where you got to go hunting your stuff at.
You got to go find a dance partner that's in the same situation sometimes. Correct. So that way, because they're looking to make a change and you're looking to make a change. And
this was another reason I brought this up, is because you can probably tell the listeners a little bit more about how some of the stuff actually works versus what we think, how we think it may work. To your point, so you brought up a scenario, and we've seen other teams do this, and I was hoping that you would get into this. So, for instance, if he was to waive a guy in for the sole purpose of sending him down for cap relief, so player X is making $4 million. He waives him. Nobody picks him up. We can now send him to the minors, and we get $2 million in salary?
No, you wouldn't get $2 million. You'd get about $1.5 million relief on a player like that. As he gets higher in salary, you get less relief.
Oh, okay.
So if you have a $6, $7, $8 million player, you'd probably get $1 million in relief on that, which, you know, sounds like a lot of money, but when you're bringing in, you know, when a guy who scores 7 goals a year is making $1 million nowadays, it's tough to imagine getting a guy for $1 million coming back the other way.
Sure.
So,
and you get, and when I like when I was going with these 12 teams that are hunting, and I understand something, Cromes, to get to the playoffs just for that first round is money reasons why those owners you don't start pissing around with that right now.
It's the gravy, right?
Yeah.
Because as you know, Darren, every owner, every team is budgeted from the start of training camp to the end of the regular season, because it'd be stupid to budget into the playoffs, because what if you don't make it?
Yeah.
Now you're screwed, right? So they budget to the playoffs.
Yep.
And so, like you're saying, once they get to the playoffs, all that, I don't want to say it's gravy, like they're making money, but all that is extra revenue for them on their books.
Mm-hmm.
So, sorry.
And there's a lot of teams like the Blues out there, and I'm not saying, like, the Blues ownership is, they've been all in on this game, but still, for them to get around two rounds, three, that's huge for them.
Sure.
And, you know, this, when you're in a smaller market, and I hate to, that's where St. Louis is, in a smaller market, but the ownership's there for them, but they need a little help too down the road. And every round you get farther makes your organization, even the Blues, that much stronger with what's going on.
There's so much involved, right?
Yeah.
Because all your sponsorship deals, all your advertising, all your deals are through the regular season.
And that's why I'm saying you just can't go and make some, just because Stastny or Steen or that, you just can't go and say, here, get rid of the shit and take it, and then all of a sudden, boom, you just follow your team falls out of the playoff. That's not doing you any good, because they're going to be better than what you're, you know what I mean, just bringing some guy. You're in the minors for a reason. You're there for a reason. I don't care what anyone says. You're there for a reason. Whether you've done something, whether you're telling, you're there for a reason.
I was always screwed over.
Yeah, that's right.
It was never me.
That's right. So was I. But that's why you're there. You're there because something's gone south, or your game's gone south. You're there for, you're not quite ready to make the NHL. The reason you're in the NHL, because you're better than what's in the minors, and that's a fact.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for participating in our poll. It was like almost, you know, lockstep. 54% said absolutely not. 46% said, yeah, let's
Well,
do
they
it.
Had a 50-50 chance
that's
of getting
right.
it right.
Well, there is. What, it was there a get it right, though? Well,
I'm just happy right. The goddamn poll went off right.
I'm
sure our sponsor is, too.
Yeah, we finally, we said that new contest, find the mistake.
Yeah, boy.
You go out to get a new sponsor, and they got a guy screwing the poll up every damn day. What's that all about?
Tell you what.
Somebody said something about we got intern Jimmy in here.
Yeah. You try doing them polls.
What happened to that?
I'm doing. Well, hey,
is intern Jimmy your new name around
here? It might be. Hey, thanks to our good friend Butter.
I'm just glad Rivs took it over for you. You know, just make sure he gives you the okay so you can put it on there now.
Yeah. Well, my goodness. We got to proofread it. Have you seen this stuff?
Hey, thanks to our good friend Tommy Brown. Tax resolution by TommyBrown.com. We've been on the bench with Butter. Remember, he can help you with any IRS tax problems you have. He handles the resolutions there. He obviously does the normal tax services. And, of course, proactive tax planning is what he specializes in. If you find yourself in a self-employment situation or if you own your own business, Tommy Brown's your man. Tax resolution by TommyBrown.com. Gentlemen, let's take a minute here and let you guys talk a little bit about what's going on with St. Louis Amateur Hockey. I know, Jamie, Synergy Hockey's entering into a big, big two-week stretch here for you personally. We got a lot of kids off school. This is a great time for them for camps. I know you got a lot of that going on. Why don't we start with what's going on with Synergy, and then you guys can kind of talk about what's going on, especially in the AAA world for the amateur situation here in St. Louis.
Sure. Synergy Hockey, we've got those holiday camps. We've been talking about this for about a month now. The one in Merrimack is sold out, so unfortunately there's nothing left there. But there, we do have one the same days as Merrimack in Pacific, which is not too bad geographically for people, so there's still some room over there. And the one at the Mills is selling out quickly. We've got about 9 spots left. So people, if you want to get your kid in, if you want to get them on the ice, get some skill work, fill in some of that time in the holidays to get them doing something good with themselves, get out there, sign up, synergyhockeyskills.com, click on Holiday Camp, and get them registered.
You know, when Logan was playing when he was younger, he loved those camps over the holiday break. It just – because he felt like, you know, this is what I do, man. I get up, I go to hockey instead of go to school. It was a good – you know, and then multiple days. He loved it. If you look at the pictures you have online, too, how happy the kids are and they're all out there around you guys, it's more than just hockey. It's a lot of fun, too.
And we have a lot – look, at the key to this thing is making sure the kids want to come back, you know. And you have different level of – hockey player, just like you have different level of student and anything in life, there's different levels. So you got to make sure that the kids who are lower level enjoy it just as much as the kids who are, you know, the top tier players. And you got to make sure they want to come back. So you push them to what their limits can be, but you have fun doing it. You know, our goal as a group of coaches is not to discourage the kids. We want them to come back. We want to teach them. We want the right habits to be developed. We want the right skills to be developed, but not at the expense of these kids being miserable out there. So we like to have a good time. I know, Kimby, you've seen us out there. We laugh, we joke, we mess with the kids, but it's never at the expense of making them better.
You know, for you and knowing you, and like I said, we talk in here a lot about how you are when we start talking about some of the kids that you've helped achieve their ultimate dream. I guarantee for you, when you see a kid come back to another camp, it's got to be a good feeling.
Well, it's great. You know, we always highlight the kids that are, you know, now like NHL prospects or draft picks. But from year to year, there's kids that are just, you know, house players or, you know, lower-tiered competitive hockey. They come back every year, and they're better. They're bigger. They're stronger. Their shot is better. And you notice it, and it's just as it's a moment that's just as proud because you feel like you've been a part of this kid's development. Even though it's not NHL-bound kids, you know, that's not what it's all about. Not always, that's for sure. And so you see these kids come back, and they've gotten better, and you comment on it, or the coaching staff realize it, or we talk to the kid about it. You know, the kid smiles ear to ear. The parents are happy. And really, that's what the main goal is here. When you're doing youth sports in general, you want these kids to have a great experience so that for the rest of their life, they remember having all this much fun growing up playing the sport they love.
And hearing it from you has to be a lot. Like, if I look in the room and I see both of you guys, and I know this from my own son experience, not with hockey, but like baseball. Darren, I mean, you played in the NHL. I would have to imagine, almost like anything else, when it comes to the game itself, hearing from Jamie that your son has improved or he's picking up this, it probably means a lot to him. Now, he wants to hear from you as dad, but when it comes to the technical, it probably means a lot coming from Jamie.
Our kids don't like to hear from dad.
And if you've been, and I'm not saying that, I've been around the game, so I take my kid, and if I would put him with Jamie just to see how he reacts, that's, you hear the same voice all the time the kid does, and he blocks your shit out. I know mine's doing it to me, so you know. And if you get with a coach for a long period of time, they start to block that out. But you like to put to refresh their brain to see what else is going on out there.
Yeah, no, it's a good thing, and what you're doing is an amazing thing. A lot of kids. How's our friends? How's the Nelson family doing? NelsonLandServices.com, professionally landscaped at reasonable cost. They're the only name in landscaping. You know, another great amateur hockey family here in St. Louis. I know Gary just raves about their son. You know, just feels like they really got a talented player that probably could be playing in a more what's the word I'm looking for, a higher level than what he is right now, because he's really performing well for McKendry.
You know, here's the thing. And their youngest kid, because that's the one I'm around all the time, but he's getting offers now. You get to an age where you get to go and. Yeah, you get out there and you spend a lot of time on the road, but you're getting to go see him. He's going to go to a top 100 thing in Pittsburgh, you know, the 100 top kids in the country. He goes up to Chicago to these things. You know, he's getting a chance to go see him, and he's a big kid. He's bigger than the normal 0-4 kid right now, so he's ahead of the game, so which is good. He's getting seen, and we got a few guys that are doing that. It's nice for the Nelsons because they're involved with it. They're doing the right things. They're kids, they love the game of hockey. And it's nice to see a kid go on because the kid's putting in a lot of hard work. He goes to Jamie's stuff. Yeah. You know, the kid's putting in his time.
He's a great kid. He works his ass off.
Yeah.
Hey, the younger one, Gary had made comment the other day. They had like so many shots on goal, and he had said that the older boy probably accounted for a lot of them because he said he is not scared to shoot the puck. Is that a synergy hockey? I'm assuming that the
older Nelson kid, he's come out a number of times with us. And you know what? The common theme here that we're talking about is just the effort, right? The hard work. And he's another guy, I call him a kid. He's, you know, in college now, but he's still a kid to me. He puts in the hard work. He's a great kid. You can tell that it comes from mom and dad, the work ethic. And so, yeah, having him shoot the puck a lot, absolutely. When in doubt, put it on net.
Well, they're a great family. We appreciate their support. Again, all they're asking you to do is check out NelsonLandServices.com. Their phone number here in the St. Louis area is 636-244-5651. We appreciate Scott and the boss so much that we can't even tell you. So give them an opportunity, guys. Five-star locally rated landscaping company, NelsonLandServices.com. Let's get to some Twitter questions. You guys ready for this? Of course, another umbrella there, the electric arm of innovative companies. Right off the bat, this guy, I mean, he likes to throw some shots here. Rick B, our Ribbit 31. Somebody needs to tell Bartuzzo he's not a forward.
Someone better tell Bartuzzo to wake the hell up, or he's going to be sitting in the stands watching a lot of hockey pretty soon.
We've talked about this last couple of weeks, and, you know, Bartuzzo for me is a very serviceable 6'7 defenseman. And that's no disrespect there. I mean, that's what I did for my career. I was a 6'7 defenseman.
Jamie's like, let's not dog on this.
No, but I'm just being honest. Like, there's a role
pays
there.
Well.
The role is not to try and be, Drew Doughty or Eric Carlson. His role when he got brought in here was to be the sandpaper. Like, he was supposed to be the guy who was an accent piece to Jackman. And then when Jax was on his way out, he was supposed to be the guy to carry the mail with the sandpaper, with the tough play, with the holding other teams accountable, with all that stuff. And I'm not saying he won't do it. I'm just looking at it as he just hasn't done it to the enough. Like, he's on the ice. I know, and I'm going to go back to this. I know he got tripped up by Jay Bouwmeester or whatnot, but he's on the ice when Braden Schenn has to go over and fight somebody. A handful of games ago. And then last night you got a couple of guys running around, and that Hathaway kid, like, he had a shot at him 2 minutes or 3 minutes before he gave Tarasenko a shot. He had, you know, Bertuzzo has his hand wrapped around his face and then just kind of lets him off the hook and skates away, kind of like smiling like it's all okay. Then the Hathaway kid, like 2-3 minutes later, goes out right off the draw and goes and gives it to Tarasenko. Now Joel Edmondson, who's a top 4D, he's got to run in and come headhunting and take 2 or 4 minutes in the box at that point because somebody else didn't handle it beforehand.
Here's a question for you, though, on this. And you're going to know this because I don't follow where they come from or what their rating was or what they're expected to be. But when Bertuzzo and Edmondson entered the league, they were fighting for the same ice time at that point in time. And I don't know what they were supposed to be when they were – I don't know what their ratings were when they got here. But Edmondson is in the top four. He's up there playing all the goddamn time. And Bertuzzo still stalemate right back here. So I don't – they started the same. They were fighting for ice time. But when they first got into this game, they were fighting for ice time.
Well, they started with the same style. Yeah. Okay? Because Edmondson has that sandpaper.
Exactly.
And, in junior hockey, he was never afraid to shed the mitts and lay a beating on somebody. And he's not afraid to do it in the NHL, but he's more valuable.
Yeah.
And you need him on the ice. He really shouldn't be doing that role because he's a top 4D.
But that's where they started, though.
They started very similar. Now, Edmondson's upside was a lot more than Bortuzzo. Bortuzzo was a little bit unknown. He come from Pittsburgh, and you weren't really sure what you're getting. You're kind of like, well, you know, what are we getting here? But the number one thing that they wanted to highlight was the sandpaper.
Right.
This guy plays with an edge. You know, he's not afraid to get involved. And once again, I'm not saying he's afraid to be involved. Maybe he's just not recognizing the situations. Maybe he's being told. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not. No. I as much as we know, or as much as we get into the know of what's going on with the team, we're never actually in the room. Yeah. I'm not in the meetings with Mike Yeo and Robert Bortuzzo. I don't know what he's telling him.
In all fairness, though, there has been a mess. Someone has said something, Ribs, because last night when
Vladdy,
the whole goddamn outfit come, and that, and I thought it was awesome. So, but I'm just saying something's been
There was a message a few weeks ago that was sent when Mr. Bortuzzo was a healthy scratch for a number of games, and the message was to be more involved. Now, you know, these days you don't tell a guy, hey, we want you to go out there and be a nut bar. You don't tell them that, but you say, we need you to be more involved. That's like the key word. That's like the hidden code word to being like, you need to get in there and get somebody's face and do something. Whether he's done that or not, I don't know. I just wish he would. He's so big. He's so able to do it. I just wish he doesn't even have to fight Kimby.
Nope.
He just has to come in and level somebody. Or you see somebody do that to Tarasenko next shift, like he should be running Matthew Tkachuk or Johnny Gaudreau through the boards.
He's at the point right now, Riz, and I don't care what anyone says. I've seen it happen a million times. He's at the point right now where he's either going to sit there and go on to make millions of dollars, or he's going to go on.
It's a fork in the road.
Yeah, so he's sitting there. Where do you want to go, kid?
You're right.
This is a...
You're right. You know why you're right? Because that same shit happened to me. Mm-hmm. It did. And I use myself as an example because I can speak in the first person at that point. Fork in the road came. I was still wanting to be an offensive kind of puck-moving guy. They were looking at me more as a 5'6", 7" physical kind of defense. And I'd made the choice to try. And I never made a choice. I kind of stayed in the middle of it all. Mm-hmm. And it didn't work for me.
Yeah.
I played a long time. Don't get me wrong. However, things could have been different had I picked one road or the other. Mm-hmm. But I stayed kind of in the middle. And you get, then you're in limbo. And if you look at my career, same shit. It ended up in limbo. Healthy scratch, not healthy scratch, not down to the minors, back up, healthy scratch, not. Like, fuck, pick something and do it really well.
Yeah.
Good question. Thank you, Rick B.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. Now I need therapy.
When is it ever you've been in the first person you're talking to? There's about three of them. Yeah,
I picked one of them. There's only one in my brain at the same time, right?
Hey, he picked the good one. That's how you work, right?
Well, look, there's three people in my head, Kimby. Holy shit, we got a house party going on in yours.
There's room for a whole army. All right, Blues are 20.
Chrome's, yours is empty, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't even worry about that. Mr. fucking Pole guy over here.
Blues are 22-11-2, Matt, at Blues_record. He's got three. One's kind of just a question because he's curious. Is Tage Thompson taller than Parayko?
No, I think they're the same height.
Okay. MVP so far this season, not named Schwartz.
MVP, not named, well, Braden Schenn.
Yeah, without a doubt.
That's not even tough. Yeah, not
well, even tough. And do you think Philly misses Schenn yet?
Well, no shit.
No, they don't miss him.
Well, you know what, though? Based on the way they were playing them and what they valued him at and how they used him and how they always hung him out there for trade rumors for like 2 years straight, look, they were ready to move on from Braden Schenn. For whatever reason, it didn't work. So do they miss him? They'd miss this version of him, but would they have used him in this version?
You don't miss him.
Well, from here's a fan question for you guys on to follow up on the Schenn thing. Is this an example of a guy that maybe got stale and needed that to pick his own game and go, holy cow, wait a minute, I'm not.
You get traded, it breathes new life into you. Whether you're traded because you were terrible or that you're a wanted commodity or whatever it is, you have to look at it as a new beginning. So Braden Schenn gets to come to a team that, you know, went to the Western Conference Final 2 years ago, had a big upset last year against Minnesota, and pushed Nashville. He's looking at it like, holy crap, I'm going to a playoff team, which Philly has not been at all while he was there.
I'll promise you, Chromes, I can say this, and I'll be right on the money. I don't know if it's one or it's two or it's three, but there's always – Braden Schenn is sitting out there not happy on the team he's on. They're not happy with him. This shit goes on all the time. It's a mental thing that's going on in your head. Good players, coaches and them don't get along. All of a sudden, the top pushes down on them, and they're going to win all the time. And when this kid's just looking to get out from underneath his foot on his neck, and when he does, and that's what probably this coach didn't want him and the organization, and they let him go. And then and you see this all the time, man, in hockey.
Well, it's a breath of fresh air sometimes.
Yeah. This is we're a goalie question, but I think it's a good one. From Alex Taylor at Holy Alex T. With all the goalie talk lately, I'll ask this. Hutton is a UFA after this season. Do you see him getting an extension?
Yes.
From the Blues?
Yes, I think so. Because, quite honestly, if they were that confident in the next goalie, next man up, right? If they were confident in the next man up, he would have played while Carter Hutton was injured. You would have seen, if Ville Husso was the guy that they're like, we're going to hang our hat on this guy next, he's the next up-and-comer, he would have played during that stretch. They would have got him a game because they would have said, we need to get this guy to the net as much as possible. So in my opinion right now, if Carter Hutton continues to play the way he is, which is lights out, you'd be an absolute fool not to try and re-sign him. Now, Carter Hutton might say, screw you, I want more money because I am the most valuable backup goalie in the NHL right now. And he might price himself out of the St. Louis Blues.
The thing about him right now, which is huge, he's pushing Allen, and you want that all in, because I'm not knocking Allen by no means.
It's nothing negative against Allen. Shit, if you got two guys that are playing to that level,
and especially the competitiveness that I know Allen's sitting there with, because this is his job, and I know if you got someone coming, it's going to work one way or the other. They're going to either get you nervous, but Allen's showing that he can handle that.
Well, right now the NHL, you always look back to who won the Stanley Cup,
mm-hmm.
and you try to look at their formula and go, how did they win it? Well, Pittsburgh Penguins are back-to-back champions, right? Their players are fast, skill, puck possession, all those things. You look at their net for the last 2 years. Who did they have? Two number one goalies, basically. Fleury, they had Fleury and Murray.
They just traded for one, too. See that?
They picked up Layton.
Yeah.
Right? He's
Why'd they do that, I wonder?
Older guy. Maybe, you know, good solid backup. If Murray goes down, yeah. Right, you got to be able to have somebody in the pipes. Yeah. So, but my point is the team that won back-to-back Stanley Cup championships just had two number one goalies in their lineup for 2 years. And it took both of those goalies to get them to the cup.
But you're going on that form, and I'm not trying to get off here, but just on your formula alone, because it relates to the Blues too, Ribs. But look at all the little shit disturbers they had that ran around in Pittsburgh, too. They had the talent. Now some
of them, they're buzzing,
they
right?
They moved on to Tampa Bay, and they moved on to Nashville. But those players, that you know, you got the Crosbys in them, but this shit that come down here and did all the nasty work, that's a huge part of your team, too.
You got to have, I call them the golden retrievers of the world, right? Like, you got to have those dogs that you throw the goddamn ball, they just run no matter what, through a brick wall, into the water, and they get the ball and bring it back to you, right? Yep. And that's what those accent players are. They're the retrievers. So you get these guys that are so hungry. They get on the puck no matter what. They're fast. They're on it. They're aggressive. They're this. They're that. They get the puck and they bring it back to you. Mm-hmm. So like Crosby, Malkin, all these guys, Kessel, well, they have these retrievers in their lineup. And those guys bring the puck back to them all the time, and they get to play with it.
Yeah, and those guys are playing. Some of those guys are playing on your second line, your third. You know, they're
100%. They're accent pieces to the Stars.
Yeah.
You got to have them.
And that's where the Blues, and that's why the Blues got it on the fourth line, but they don't got it on those top lines.
I'd like to see some of their top guys be more like retrievers.
Exactly.
Go in there at all cost, get the puck, and bring it back.
I agree.
Rick B. back for the last question of the show.
Ricky B. again?
Yeah, boy, he's rolling.
Holy
Well, I think he tweeted a little bit later after some more frustration.
Oh, he's like Cromer. Had a few beers and tweeted. Yeah.
At this point,
Jimmy.
I thought it was Zima's.
Intern Jimmy. No,
straight whiskey, Butch. Hey, at this point,
Virgin whiskey.
At this moment, I'd much rather see Upshaw and Brodziak on the power play. Much more lively and more responsible with the puck. No. 91 is more liability than asset, right?
Now I know Ricky's been drinking. No, Rick.
Just frustration.
No, I get it. Look, here, I understand his thought process behind it. You know, it's not working now. How much worse could it get? I get it, but you're not going to get your top guys out of a funk either by just, you know, having this problem or creating this divide. I think you can take one of them and put them on a unit and say your job is to stand in front or be the retriever, get in there and get the pucks and get them back to us. But you can't play those guys in lieu of a Tarasenko.
Well, you were talking on the power play, didn't you? Were you talking about this on Monday or something?
I was fixing all the problems.
Yeah. My only thing that I would say, and I didn't listen. I didn't listen to that part.
No, you listened. You were glued to it.
I swear to you, I didn't.
Taking notes.
You recorded it.
I know. I heard lots of people saying, but they liked what you said, Riz. And I'm probably going to get my foot stuck in my ass on this one, but when I talk about
that flexible,
I don't know that. when I look at the power play, though, this is my view of it, and I think Vladdy. And this is what I'm just thinking. I think Vladdy hangs on to it too much. I wish he was. Is that what you said? Did you say that?
Yeah, no, keep going.
Because the reason I'm saying that is
he likes when great minds think alike.
Because when Holly was there, Holly would do it, and he would get it, and it was gone. And that's what he did. He wasn't hanging on. He wasn't the playmaker of the power play. And I think Vladdy gets into that. He gets the puck over there, and he's wondering if he should shoot the net. And he ends up shooting it, but it takes him a while to get that shot. Not a while, but he's thinking the process out. And I wish it would just get to the point where someone else is doing the work, getting it, and Vladdy's hanging out, and all of a sudden it comes and it's gone. And
this is crazy, isn't it?
And that's what I'm hoping. I swear to God, I didn't listen to the show, but
I'm
watching.
I'm either really happy right now or I'm kind of horrified.
Yeah, because you
guys, what you just said was almost verbatim to what I said.
No, you're
day.
Horrified when you come on Mondays and you don't realize that the first 10 minutes I've said some things.
No, that horrifies me. You're right.
Yeah.
And if you look at it, and just to add to that, go watch Washington play. And go watch Ovechkin.
Oh, yeah. Because
when Ovechkin gets into trouble, he starts hanging on to the damn puck, and he tries to be the playmaker.
He's the shooter.
But when he gets it and it's gone, that's when things happen for him.
Yeah. This is what I basically said, exactly what you just said on the other show. I talked about how you can't have your number one shooter be the quarterback as well.
Can't.
But the number one thing that I'll focus on is exactly what you've been all around talking about, except Hully. And you know this. You played with the man. I played with the man. He used to say, you guys, and I said this the other day, you guys pass it around all you want. When you want to shoot it, get it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And that's exactly how it was. Yeah. And you pass it around, and then Oatsy or someone would find Hully, Brownie, you know, and he would just rip it And that's the way it is. So I think you're...
And saying that, and you have to understand this too, because the game's gone different on us, but saying that, you need people that can quarterback this power play. You need people that can to move it around to shift this box to where it does get to Vladdy.
I think they have those guys, though, but Kimby. Now they're putting it in Vladdy's hands.
But what
get
I'm saying,
it out of his hands. Steen and Shattenkirk did a hell of a job before. But
the reason I'm saying that, though, is because everyone shuts down. You know, they're going to that little box, and they're all blocking shots. They're all sitting in front of the net. So if you can get them to move and then get – and I'm not saying they – but that's where it's got to go.
They got to have more movement on the power play, and – they have to move the puck quickly, and it can't be in Vladdy's hands for more than a split second.
Exactly.
Like, because they're going to close down those lanes, and they're doing it.
Yeah.
They're stacking two or three guys in front of the puck, sticks and bodies, and then goalie. We're not getting the traffic in front, so we're just not getting those chances. When you move the puck around quickly, you create these passing lanes and shooting lanes, and now Vladdy's open. But God damn, now he's got shots.
Instead of him sitting there out there in the wing the wall,
I know.
He needs to move.
He's got to go from side to side, change the angle,
all over
change
the, place.
The look.
Yeah. Get going.
Great questions today. A couple of the questions that came in, the guys kind of covered them. Deneen Preston, they covered you on Tage Thompson, of course. We had one come in late from Jeremy. Will the Blues trade a top six forward? I think you heard Jamie say, no, it's just not realistic. So
they would. They just can't.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it comes down to. One of the things we got, before we move forward on that, I want to thank our partners for sure with the Twitter questions from Innovated Electric, of course, the great family there, the Green family. Can't do this show without their support. InnovatedCompanies.com, fully licensed, bonded, and insured. 35-plus years experience. He's a second-generation craftsman. Don't forget them for all your needs there for sure. The fans are really loving story time. So before we finish up the show, some of the things that come up during the show make me want to ask you guys a follow-up question. Kimmy, I'm going to go to you this time because
I don't get the stories.
No.
I got them.
No, this is
you.
A little bit of a different thing, and it's because the guy I say is an enigma because we had him for 1 year. But we talked a little bit about wearing the letter and what it means and the example. Tell our listeners a little bit what it was like when Scott Stevens was here. What like when you talk about by example. I mean, the guy played the game so hard, so physical, demanding, could do it all. What was it like being in a locker room with a guy like that? Because I think St. Louis, still to this day, I mean, you can take the comments when we did the poll. They just feel robbed of a guy that could have altered their franchise. Maybe not in the way Hull did, but in a completely another way that would have been a positive, obviously.
You know what? And I played with like Ray Bourque, who was a captain, Dirk Graham, who in Chicago was a captain. They were on all these teams that I played on, Chris Chelios, they were the quiet guys. If you go into a locker room, and Rivers will verify this with me, your third, your fourth line guy, when a coach comes in and says, this is what we need to do, this is what we're going to do, you sit there and sort of say, and you'll go over it and you'll say, you're the guys that on the third and fourth line are saying, this is what we need to do, just to keep refreshing everybody what's going on. So you're sitting there and saying that everybody knows where Scotty Stevens sits in the dressing room. Everybody knows where he is. You know, it's almost like when he's sitting there, because he's your leader, you're looking out the corner of your eye to make sure you're not screwing something up here that he doesn't. Because he was a real intense son of a gun. You know, he would sit there and didn't say a lot of words. But it's always the good leaders that you'll always hear the stories about. Gromes was they didn't say much, but when they spoke, people listened to him. But they did all their shit on the ice, and that's where they went. Like Scotty Stevens on the ice, his intensity, he brought it. And by him bringing it, you had to bring it, or you just felt like a piece that you were letting your teammate down. And that's the way the team game works. If my leader is going to lead, you're a little grunt guy. You're going to show up. You better catch up to his ass, or you're going to pay the price of it. If you're not, because you're a team. Because Scotty always led. Chris Chelios always led. Ray Bourque always led. You know, they're your leaders, and so they come out and they showed how the game was going to be played, how the coach wanted you to play it. All you sat in the room and you just reinforced what the coach was saying. And that's as a third or fourth line player. Get the puck in. Make sure we got a guy high. You just did little stupid things, but it was just something that you always threw in your head. But those guys didn't have to do that when the Blues are going through what they're going through right now. A Scotty Stevens, at some point in time, there would be a team meeting, and he would say what he wanted to say, and you got it. You understood what he said, and then away we went. So do the Blues got? I don't know what Petro is in the job. I don't know none of that nonsense. I just know what Scotty was like. I know what Chris Chelios was like. They spoke when it needed to be spoken. And the Blues, I don't think the Blues are in dire straits right now. Let's get that. They're not losing eight games in a row. Does Petro need to say something to something? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in their dressing room. I'm not there.
You know, to add on to that, and I'd be remiss not to mention Steve Yzerman in this, because I say I had the privilege of playing with Chelly, mm-hmm. as well as Steve Yzerman. And like Chelly was just a consummate leader. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he was the ass kicker, right? Like, if I'm going to go out and do all this crap, you better goddamn well do it too, or I'm coming back to the locker room, I'm going to chop you over the head. And that was Chelly.
Yep.
Now, Steve Yzerman, you watch this guy play. And he played on one leg. He had surgeries. He could barely move out there. And then he's dropping in front of Al McInnes slap shots to block them on a power play when he's playing penalty kill. Steve Yzerman was taken off the power play by Scotty Bowman and put on the penalty kill. And he shut his mouth. He went out, did his job, blocked shots, took hits, did all the little things right. How do you come back to your locker room and look at your leader in the face who's doing everything you should be doing? And he's doing stuff that's outside of his box, so to say. Now, how do you look at that guy and not give the same effort? Or when he gets up to speak, how do you not listen? How do you not respond?
And if correct me if I'm wrong, and I might be, but I believe you were in the locker room when Gretzky was here?
Yeah.
Describe that.
Well, Gretz was quiet.
Yeah, but that's a whole other level.
Well, it's a whole other level. It was like almost an intimidation factor there. Not like Gretz got in your face, but he's so good and such the greatest player that of my generation anyways to ever play the game. But Gretz went out there early, did little things in practice. Like, he led in different ways, but you know, he wasn't a captain like that. But you know, however, he went out, and I'll tell you what, Gretz played hard every single game. He never took a night off. Like, you know, you didn't see him running guys or doing shit like that or blocking shots all the time. But when he got the puck, his main goal every single time was to put it in the other team's net, and he worked his ass off. And he was just a toothpick, 165, 170 pounds playing in that era, being able to stay away from hits, set guys up, make plays, score goals, pass the puck. It's not because he was just so talented. He had a desire. He had a drive in there to want to be the best. So it's leading in a different way.
But they all, and there'd be one question I'll ask him, because you play the prongs, correct?
Yes.
So, but like Al McInnes is a quiet man.
That's who I was going to ask
He's
about.
Quiet. I'll see him in the rink, and he'll say hi and talk, and it's about a 3 seconds conversation, and he wants to, but he was a quiet man. And I know prongs is a little bit, he's quiet, but I think there's a, I don't know what he was like, or the captain, was there a little bit more?
It's abrasive.
Yeah.
You but know, like.
Every leader, that every captain that, and any team that I played on in pro hockey was, they were a quiet person that went out and worked their ass off.
Did either of you ever play for a team where the captain was very vocal, like overly vocal?
Not me. I didn't.
Trying to think.
I had Joey Sakic. He was a quiet man.
Yeah, you know,
I think we as fans picture it the other way, like this intense guy that's in your face in the locker room because you're not giving enough.
No.
On the bench going,
No, the good leaders, though, what people have to understand is the good leaders, it's almost like good coaches. They know when to do it. Mm-hmm. Instinctively, because they're leaders or because they've learned it over the years from other great leaders, they know when it's time to quietly pull a guy aside, maybe take a guy for lunch on the road, whatever you do, or get up in his face that one time in the locker room or a group of guys and call them out. It's not all the time. If you do it all the time, it's just like anything else. Yep. Guys just become numb to it. Or now you're causing problems because they're like, oh, this guy's always pissing and moaning, you know? So the greatest leaders, in my opinion, they lead by example first and then hold everybody accountable to that standard with their actions and then their words.
Well, the fans really love to hear these types of things, things they'll never get. So I appreciate you guys taking the time to do that. I know we're out of time. Actually, we went over, and you guys are kind enough to give us your stuff here, your time around the holidays. I want to let all our listeners know that we will be off next week for the holiday season. The studio's closed, so have about a week for everybody to enjoy, especially in here, to get away. But we'll be back in January, of course, and we've got some new stuff planned for you next year. We're going to try to bring some guys on, maybe do some stuff on location, some things like that. I've been talking to Jamie about doing some things, obviously, and Kimball, of course. But at the end of the day, we appreciate all of our listeners. Your continued support of the show has been great. I know you, at the end of the day, really love to hear those types of stories from these guys. So thanks, guys. We appreciate it. And again, I know that I speak for the listeners when I say this. If you guys ever think of something good, just throw it out. Because at the end of the day, you can only beat a dead horse so much on some of this stuff. Because I know as Blues fans, we can get a little frustrated. But we appreciate it greatly as fans. I want to thank our partners again. Don't forget InnovativeCompanies.com. Our good friend Tommy Brown, Tax Resolution by Tommy Brown. Nelson Land Services, of course. Cannot do the show without all of our sponsors. We want to thank our social media partners as well. Make sure you give these guys a look-see on Facebook. Art City Sports, St. Louis Blues Hockey Memes, St. Louis Blues Fans Unite, Everything STL Sports. Could not have the growth of the show without them. It means a lot to us as well. Don't forget to check us out, bluesnhlpodcast.com. Subscribe to the show. Listen to the show there. Do your shopping at Amazon. We would greatly appreciate it. Find us on Twitter, at STL Blues Podcast, at NHL Show. Facebook and Instagram as well. Facebook, where our ask of you, find Blues NHL Podcast. Like our Facebook page. Invite your friends to like it as well. Instagram, Blues NHL Podcast. And, of course, special thanks to everybody at lineupmedia.fm. We wish them a very Merry Christmas as well. Don't forget, check out Synergy Hockey. There are still some openings, as he said, in one of the locations. If you want to get that young one out of the house, driving you nuts already being out of school, I'm sure Jamie will take him off your hands. He'll send him home a wonderful human being, I promise you. That I promise. But for both of my partners, Darren Kimball and Jamie Rivers, from all of us here at Blues NHL Podcast, we wish you a very Merry Christmas, a very safe New Year. We'll see you in 2018. Let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.